Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four talented people who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back one of our regular players of the game who joined us a few years ago and has done so well we daren't let him go, and that is Paul Merton. We welcome back someone who's only played the game twice before, and he did it so well we had to ask him back again, and that is Graham Norton. And there are two others who have played the game for 28 years, and we can't do without them. That is Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to keep the score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask our four players to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, the rules of the game. See what happens as we start the show this week with Clement Freud and the subject, tripe. Will you tell us something about tripe in just a minute, starting now?
I think it is proper to say that Taramasalata is the biggest sexual stimulant that we have in the Western world. A man in Newport Pagnell ate his own weight of this confection of smoked cantaloupe, lemon juice, sunflower oil, spices, herbs, and...
Paul Merton, you challenged hesitation. Yes, it was hesitation. I think he was waiting for someone to challenge him for deviation, actually. Nothing happened. But he paused, that is hesitation. There are 38 seconds left. The subject is tripe, Paul. It is with you.
Of course, Clement was talking tripe. That's what he was on about as regards the sexual affection. What was that word?
What is your challenge?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, indeed. He did hesitate. There are 32 seconds left. The subject is tripe, with you starting now.
Well, I've been associated with tripe for many years. As an actor, you really can't avoid it. And you're often given a lot of tripe to talk or speak or act even. And the...
Clement Freud, the challenge?
Repetition of oars.
Of oars?
Oh, no, not two letters.
No. You did say it three times. I'll have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. I agree with you, it's a bit of a tough challenge, but Clement, it was a correct challenge, so...
Boring as well.
20 seconds, back with you is tripe, starting now.
Tripe is the edible lining of a ruminant's stomach, and is pretty disgusting unless you like that sort of thing. In the east end of London, they cook it in something called liquor, which contains the juices of the meat, mixed with parsley or other herbs. Thank you.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud, so he has 2 points at the end of that round. Paul Merton also has a point because he was had a correct challenge, and he takes the second subject, which is the cat's whisker. Will you tell us something about the cat's whisker in just a minute, Paul, starting now?
This is a term for a very old-fashioned sort of radio that was very popular in the 1920s and 30s. People would sit around their sets on a Wednesday afternoon listening to the great dance bands of the time, such groups as Sir Clement Freud, Hawaiian Five, and Peter Jones, Syncopated Six. It was a wonderful time for all fans of this kind of popular tune, and people would often come...
Peter Jones' challenge.
That's the second time he said "and."
Well, but you should get back at Clement on those sort of challenges. He's not...
Well, he wasn't Clement, wasn't talking, though. Difficult, though.
I know. but he did repeat "and" a number of times.
Well, I only did it to show what a ridiculous challenge it is.
As he repeated "people" as well, we'll give it to you, Peter, and so you have 33 seconds on the cat's whiskers starting now.
Cat's whiskers are the same width as the cat behind them. And so when a cat cries, say, I'll repeat it, cat...
Repeated cat.
I know, but cat is on the card, and you can repeat the words on the card.
Oh, no, it's cat's on the card.
Oh, yeah, but it's apostrophe S, it's cat. So
it's a different word. Cat, C-A-T, is cat, and cat is C-A-T, apostrophe S. How can it be the same?
Well, because cat is on the card.
Are you saying apostrophe S doesn't matter?
Not when it's on the card.
No, it's on the card. If it's on the card, I'm a lunatic. You'd believe it, wouldn't you?
if he said whisk, that is also on the card, and I would allow you to use the word whisk more than once. And
what is he talking about?
You would give me an impossible decision, actually, if you did that. But cat is on the card because you've got cat or cat. I think I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Peter Jones, because he keeps the subject. He has another point. He has 23 seconds starting now.
So when a cat approaches a hole or aperture, it knows if the whiskers stick out further than the hole, the cat...
Paul Merton's Allen.
A repetition of whisk.
Whisk
going hole.
Right. Yes, repetition of hole. 14 seconds, Paul. The cat's whisker starting now.
Whisk, 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 whisk. Is what I call my...
Who buzzed now? We've established the rules.
We've established that we can repeat whisk as often as we like.
But not ad infinitum like that.
Well, three isn't ad infinitum, is it?
No, you do it more than three times.
That's four. A whisk, whisk, whisk. That's three times.
Whisk, 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 whisk.
All right, five. That's not ad infinitum.
Thomas, you have a correct challenge.
Well, it's three challenges, yeah.
Yes, it is. Repetition of whisk.
Oh.
But you only use one there. 10 seconds, Clement, starting now.
The very best way to remove whiskers from a cat is to take the feline animal to a barber with a pair of scissors and snip it off.
On that very sorry thought, we come to the end of that round. And Samuel Boyd speaking as the whistle went, so he gained an extra point. He has increased his lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones in second place, then Paul Merton, and Graham has yet to speak. but wait till he gets going. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject is snap. Will you tell us something about snap in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it's a funny word because it can be used in so many different ways. Verbs, like snap, is a rather bitter, irritable retort to a question. And then snap in a pencil in half, for instance. Or then there are cold snaps, of course. And brandy snaps.
And Norton Challenge. Hey, that was a repetition of snaps. I hate to be picky, but it was the subject of snap and you repeated snaps. Well done, Graham.
Well, I write.
Yes, well done.
Good.
Nice
thing. Things have changed since the cat's rule. Is there no moment of inconsistency in your judgment?
If there was, you wouldn't have all the ammunition to come back and be so amusing and facetious, Paul. Subject with you. 41 seconds. Snap, Graham, starting now.
Very little can make me snap. Apart from fat children.
Really?
When I'm sitting on a bus and one of those rotund infants comes in and sits opposite me, I try to be nice and have sympathetic thoughts of how difficult to be a young person in that pudgy state. But something within me wants to reach out.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two somethings.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. You also have 19 seconds. The subject is snap, starting now.
Snap is a very useful game to play with Peter Jones because when two cards show the same picture or number, he always begins by saying, well, after which you can say snap before he gets it in. Therefore, you succeed, and the aforementioned song.
And Peter Jones' challenge.
I think he's making a personal attack on me.
So what is your deviation? I don't think he was deviating from the subject of snap, but he did hesitate, didn't he?
Yes.
Well done. very cleverly got in with half a second to go on snap, starting now.
I am.
Well, the end of that round, Clement Freud gained points, has increased his lead by one over Peter Jones, who's in second place, then Paul Merton and Graham Norton. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject, ecstasy. Oh, the audience are looking forward to you telling them something about ecstasy, Graham, starting now.
I once very nearly achieved a state of ecstasy, but then my mother burst into the bedroom and removed the book I was reading, entitled Grimble at Christmas, written by the very lovely Clement Freud. This superb tome has whipped me into states of excitement and pleasure I can hardly describe, but my God, I'm going to try. I spent many winter evenings curled in front of a fire, hugging my knees with pure pleasure, as I recall this lovely short book novella, if you will.
A poor challenge. Repetition of books, sadly.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm afraid of myself.
You did go for 40 seconds. That's very good. It's the best we've had today, yes. On the report, correct challenge, 20 seconds are available. Ecstasy starting now.
My idea of high fun would be to go to a fun fair somewhere else.
Yes? What is your challenge? Yes, it is. You got
into too many funds.
Yes, fun fair, yes. Ecstasy is back with you, so as rapidly as that. 15 seconds available, Graham, starting now.
Money can't buy you love, nor can you purchase happiness, but you can buy ecstasy.
Clement challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
Bye.
Yes, you're quite right. He did say bye, unfortunately. He's working up to that very good girl, but he had to use bye twice. 7 seconds available for you, Clement, on ecstasy starting now.
If they on the words like ecstasy, John.
Clement challenged.
Well, there isn't a word like ecstasy.
So you've got that deviation from...
I don't read the word like ecstasy. Yeah. Ecstasy.
The deviation from the word, as we understand it. And there's 4 seconds available to you, Graham, on ecstasy, starting now. You're going to challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, of course, Peter. 2 seconds for you on ecstasy, starting now.
Whatever it is, it doesn't last very long.
Speaking to Whistle and gained that extra point, and he has now leapt forward to join Clement Freud in the lead, and then Graham Norton and Paul Merton are equal in second place. Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin. The subject is going for a song. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A man came to me at the fair and said, if you have a poet's tongue, tumble up and chant the air, so the birds of morning hum, I'll pay you if you sing it well. If any piece, I answered flat. Sixpence is the proper price for a ballad such as that. I learned this in a detention at school because I had been doing something I should not have done.
Paul Merton challenge. Hesitation?
Are you breathing? Yes.
He thought of what he shouldn't have done and paused. 35 seconds are available for you, Paul. Going for a song, starting now.
Lots of people go for a song. They love musicals. Andrew Lloyd Webber's work is still packing out the West End shows, such as Cats and Miss Saigon and all these kind of blockbuster...
Paul Jones.
I don't think he wrote Saigon.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't write. Then you have to keep going on just a minute under pressure. Sometimes those sort of things slip up. But you pick it up, Peter. And you are going to play this game of just a minute. 24 seconds, starting now.
People all over the world flock to the...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition, I just said all that. I know that people flock all over the world. It's copying what I've said.
No, I mean they flock to the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, I see. I was drawing a challenge.
No. Paul, you've been on the show long enough now to know that you can repeat what someone else has said, as long as you don't repeat something within a round. All right. Peter, 21 seconds still available. Going for a song, starting now.
And they want to take part in it, of course, when they arrive. And many of them do, from Sweden, Norway, Ireland, all over the place. And they sing a number which has been specially composed for the purpose, as a rule, and they are all, without exception, ghastly. In my opinion, Ireland often will.
Well, fans of the show will be pleased to know that at the end of that round, Peter Jones not only got extra points on his feet when the whistle went, but he's taken the lead.
I've been in the lead before.
Two ahead of Clement Freud. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, blockbusters. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, or if you prefer, MG, was perhaps the first film studio to initiate the huge musical blockbuster when talkies were invented sometime around 1928. They were the first studio to get hold of the new sound system and produce all singing...
Peter Jones of Chums.
They were behind Warner Brothers.
Well,
Well, I was going to say, your singing all dancing musical was very much an MGM thing.
It was very much an MGM thing, but I tell you what we do. I don't know whether Warner Brothers pioneered it before MGM.
Warner Brothers certainly had the first sound film with Al Jolson.
No, that was a musical, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it had musical numbers in it, but no dancing. It was sort of a big spectacular musical is what I was talking about.
Oh, I see.
Well, I think on that particular
I can't really judge. Very amicable. Give them both a point and leave the subject with Paul Merton then. Paul, the 41 seconds are left for blockbusters, starting now.
I was lying. It was Warner Brothers who started a whole big business of making these blockbuster musicals with Al Jolson.
Graham Norton, Charlotte.
It wasn't that just a musical?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, no.
Yes, right. Well done. Well, listen, Graham. 34 seconds available. Blockbusters with you, Graham, starting now.
Blockbuster isn't a term you'd apply to Grimble at Christmas. A superb, slim volume written by Clement Freud has brought me much pleasure in my childhood years. If it were a blockbuster, the front cover would have the title, that character at the holiday season, written in gold lettering. Sexy rays off the page.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Look, this is the written.
That's right. Written by Clement Freud. And written again came up. Paul's got in with 9 seconds to go on Blockbusters, starting now.
It used to be a rather irritating show hosted by Bob Holness, where spotty students were saying things like, I'll have a pee, please, and then giggle.
So, Paul Merton speaking at the whistle end, gained that extra point. He has moved forward, just one ahead of Clement Freud, but he's still training our leader, Peter Jones. And Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is The Twilight Zone. 60 seconds, starting now.
The Twilight Zone is a popular science fiction program emanating from America. One of the most popular episodes involved...
Clement Freud Challenge.
Too popular.
They're too popular. Yes, there are. So, Clement, a correct challenge. 53 seconds available. The Twilight Zone is starting now.
The Twilight Zone in London has telephones which are prefaced 0181. And we all feel really sorry for them. I subscribe to a charity which sends them food parcels and hopes that, like Captain Scott, they will come back and get better. The Twilight...
Graham Norton challenge.
A repetition of one.
Yes, you're quite right, Graham. Well, listen, there are 34 seconds for you on the Twilight Zone starting now.
As I was saying, my favorite...
Common challenge, sir.
Deviation.
Why?
He's not sticking to the subject.
But like a leech. Like a leech. I want to go back.
I think we have to give him a little more time to get underway and establish whether he's on the subject or not. And as I thought, as I was saying, it shows that he's really into the subject. Twilight Zone with you, Graham. Another point, 30 seconds starting now.
The Twilight Zone classic involves Captain Kirk, William Shatner, sitting in a plane. He looks through the window, there on the wing, with something that looked very like a green of curry attending a barbecue. He was terrified and rejected his in-flight meal. Fool, I thought you'll want that later. I didn't sleep hardly a wink that night. I tossed and turned. Such was the fever in my blood from the television.
Well, Graham Norton's surge of energy and expertise brought him extra points in that round, but he's still in fourth place. But that is just a minute, you see. It is the contribution which is so valuable, the points I feel are secondary. And, Clement, it is your turn to begin. The subject is vacuum. Will you tell us something about a vacuum or vacuum in just a minute, starting now?
Vacuum is one of the very few words that has a double U in it. It is also a cleaner... Curtis Hoover, one of the many.
What was it like hesitation?
Clement, you were challenged, and Graham Norton, you have the subject of vacuum. There are 49 seconds available starting now.
I know what a vacuum is because it was explained to me by Carol Vorderman, who is, coincidentally, my cleaning lady. Because you don't get paid a lot of money for doing sums, I'm here to tell you. So she was using this heavy piece of equipment, a vacuum. It makes a lot of noise. You can drag it across your carpet. You sweat. You can't. Yourself think the dog box, cat flees the room, the television's in bits, you can't watch a program. And yet,
Peter Jones' challenge, repetition of can't. can't. You can't do this and you can't do that.
I'm getting tired now.
You've got just that he's playing to the audience outrageously, not meaning to say that if he commits one of the sins of just a minute, he should get away with it. Peter, yes, he did emphasize it too. Vacuum is with you, 17 seconds available starting now.
It's a misnomer, really, vacuum cleaner, because you can't clean something that isn't there. And a vacuum is just nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But Kermit Floyd challenge.
I didn't know it was too nothing.
It was too nothing. Absolutely nothing, yes. Kermit, you've got him at 6 seconds on vacuum starting now.
One of the very best ways to clean the carpet is to put potash onto it before engaging.
No, Peter Jones, just before the whistle went.
Well, he's talking about cleaning now. Cleaning a carpet. It's nothing to do with the word vacuum, necessarily.
It fooled me.
It's a debatable situation. I mean, well, you use a vacuum to clean a carpet. He's only been going for 4 seconds. I think we're giving the benefit of the doubt and say that he was speaking when the whistle went, so Clement Troy, you have that point, but you're still 1 point behind Peter Jones, who's still in the lead. He didn't get a round of applause when that happened. Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the high life. Will you tell us something about your private life, if it's not the high life, but the high life if it is? And 60 seconds are available. Starting now.
Balloonists are people who are said to enjoy the high life. There is nothing that would get me up into a hot air balloon. The idea of standing in this wicker basket while you're some 650 feet up in the air, and there's nothing between you and the ground apart from this aforementioned thing that you'd normally keep your laundry in at home, but there, suddenly, it's between you and the bottom of where you're going looking down. That's right. And that's what I don't like about it. And the other thing about the high life was like...
Peter James challenge.
Repetition of a bout.
Oh, Peter, you've got this little bee in your bonnet about ands and ors and everything.
A bout is two syllables.
Oh, right.
It's the big time.
Right, Peter, it's going to be the preposition show this time, and you've challenged again on that. But it was successful, it was correct. The highlight is with you. 33 seconds are available, starting now.
A lot of people in aircraft practice the highlight, and they have badges.
Kermit Floyd challenge.
Position?
Hesitation. You were thinking of the high-flying club, were you? And it made you pause.
The what?
The high-fly... What's it called? The high... A high... What's it again? The fly-high club. Yes.
No, what's it called? The death club?
No, the mile high club it's called. You see, I'm almost Peter's age, and we were searching for the same thing, but we
didn't.
At our age, we have to search for it.
Any luck?
What's that?
Any luck?
frequently, yes.
You amaze me.
Mile high all the time. Right, Clement, there are 27 seconds for you on the mile high club. Oh, I'm so sorry. 27 seconds on the high life starting now.
People have different concepts of high life. For me, it would be having a season ticket at Home Park and watching Plymouth Argyle win all their matches in the third division, week upon month after year. And they now play in green and white and black, which they think is a high.
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, as we had it before, repetition of and. Green and white and black.
Yes, you're quite right. We're going to have these prepositions.
I didn't start it.
I didn't start it. This is actually going to be the preposition show. 9 seconds are available for the high life starting now.
I remember a film called The High Life. It featured this wonderful country and western musical moment called The Preposition Band, where these two cowboys rode across this town that...
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has moved forward. He's now equal once again with Peter Jones in the lead, but only 1 point behind is Clement Floyd, and then another point two behind is Graham Norton. Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Paris. Will you tell us something about that? Does that bring back thoughts of ecstasy that you were beguiling us with earlier on? No, wrong. Paris is a subject, Graham, starting now.
If there is a mental hospital in Paris, I wish someone would tell the mad people where it is. Because you can scarcely relax on a chair munching on a baguette, perhaps formed into a sandwich of some sort, ham, cheese, lettuce. But lo and behold, there's some yee-haw yip howling at the moon, crazy creature at your table. And what's more, though they are a bit touched up top, they can speak French. There you go. But of course, because they are just a little bit below what you might expect of another human being you meet in the street, they think you can talk their language as well. This can lead to difficulties. Paris, of course, is reached by the...
Tenant Roy Challenge.
Two of courses.
No. Fair.
I know, but you've been going for 57 seconds.
Clement, I think you've lost the crowd now.
Yes, he has. You've done all the hard work. You've got all the emotional response of that audience. And Clement gets in the 3 seconds to go. 1 point for that, Clement. Paris, starting now.
I entered a competition. What is the capital city of France?
There's no justice in just a minute. So Graham did all the hard work and kept going, made a great contribution, and Clement came in and got 2 points. And it now remains for me to give you the final score, because we have no more time this week to play just a minute. You've enjoyed it, have you? In this particular show, Graham Norton, who came from nowhere, and gave incredible value, and his value was such that you were thoroughly enjoyed it, but he didn't get a lot of points, but that is just a minute, alas, so he's in fourth place. Then Clement Freud, who always gives great value, but he finished up with fewer points than usual. And Peter Jones, who always gives great value, finished up with a lot of points, but he didn't quite get as much points as the man who also gives great value. And he was just 2 points ahead. So they say this week the winner is Paul Merton. That you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to thank our four talented and outstanding players of the game, Clement Freud, Graham Norton, Paul Merton, Peter Jones. Also thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score, blowing her whistle so delicately and admirably when the 60 seconds were up. Also, we must thank the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, without whom none of us will be doing the show, and also our producer, Anne Jobson, who does such an admirable job. And on behalf of them all and me, thank you and goodbye.